Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
It is the Unpack Podcast, presented by AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation on Twitter at The Unpack Pod, on Instagram for no reason at The Unpack Pod. Like, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, like Joseph, who called Tex Western Ted, which I can't figure out if that was a mistake or a read, but either way, a five-star review that we greatly, greatly appreciate. Patreon.com/TheUnpackPod as well, if you are into that. I am Zach, at Zach Rapport on Twitter, and in the middle of the day here, it was a weird game, so it might as well be a weird podcast too. We're going mid-afternoon. I am joined, firstly, by Alex Patakis. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Just accidentally dozed off in the middle of the workday. Woke up just in time to do this podcast, so shaking off the cobwebs here.
And we're going a little early today. You got a work event? Is it like a networking, rubbing elbows kind of thing? Or you got a FaceTime kind
of
thing?
Yes, it is. But I decided not to go into the office. I'm home during the day. But then I have to go into the city later, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I'll have a couple of free drinks and I'll try not to be awkward and I'll go home.
Yep. It is what it is. Also joined by Ben Foldy. How are you?
Doing all right.
That's nice. I feel like it's a weird, it's just, we're just off to a weird start. It was a weird game.
It's a work day afternoon.
Yeah. Let's peel back the curtain. It's like 4:30 Eastern right now. The Packers did beat the Bengals 25-22, which that score, 25-22, is of course always the mark of a totally normal football game where nothing weird or stressful happened at all, right? That's... That's how that goes.
Not the only game with that score this week.
Was there another one that was 25-22?
Yeah. I'm forgetting which game it was, but there definitely was.
I know that at some point there was another one that was 22-22, but just
I think it might have been the Patriots and their comeback against the lowly Texans. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yep, that checks out. Yep. let's just get right into Note Nugs. Notable Nuggets, hashtag Note Nugs. Get at us on Twitter after every game at The Unpack Pod with your Notable Nugget, or Instagram, or you can still email us at theapcpodcast@gmail.com. Someone reached out to me recently and they were like, how can I give you a Note Nug not on Twitter, because I hate Twitter, which is totally valid. So a few different ways to get a hold of us, but I will go first, and I actually think that there are some worrying trends with this team right now coming out of this game. But I told you guys at the beginning of the year that I told you to enjoy the football and that I'm here to enjoy the football. So I'm going to keep it positive. I was chatting with my old friend and former podcast co-host, Joe, who after this game asked me, is this the best Packers backfield since Dorsey Levens and Bennett? And I've been thinking about that a lot and kind of doing that, you know, the meme of the woman who's like, no, well, maybe, like, that's kind of what I've been going through the past couple of days. And I think that I've just decided to commit to that take, because when you've got Aaron Jones, who does everything we already know he does so well, but then you add in AJ Dillon, who's not just a change of pace, like thunder to the lightning guy, but He's out there running routes. He's catching passes, 4 catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it's been fun watching Dylan take that next step. And I do really think that there is a case to be made that this is the best total backfield the Packers have had in a very long time. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I think it probably is. Shouts to Kylan Hill, who got 2 snaps over the weekend as well.
Ben's guy. No, he's not Ben's guy. Whose guy is it?
I think that Tex drafted him first overall. But I do, yeah, I mean, I think when you, especially when you throw in Kylan Hill, who we haven't seen much of, but I think has plenty of potential to be an Aaron Jones-esque shifty back, and we've seen some glimpses of that. I think that's a pretty good read. And, you know, I mean, it's always good to have young guys without a lot of tread or without a lot of tread worn off the tires. So, I mean, I guess the beautiful and terrible thing about running back is that can all change in a play. But at least for now, I mean, I think the depth is good and they complement each other well.
Yep, totally agree. I was trying to find the ding button there when you brought up age, the Ben Foldy age ding. Nothing more to add there. Alex, what's your note nug coming out of this weird, weird game?
Yeah. My note nug is kind of an obvious one, but it has to be talked about. And it's that similar to you and your kind of pondering about the backfield, could you argue that this is the best linebacking core the Packers have had in quite some time too?
Devondre Campbell, my hero.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of balling right now. He made a play, obviously, in overtime that we thought would have sealed the game for the Packers. I don't know. And Chris Barnes made a couple plays in this game too that I thought stood out. And I think he had a sack where he like kind of just like whoever tried to pick up the blitz just got totally owned. And then he made the play after he took on that block as well. And, you know, they play physical. They play like fast. And I think the two of them together, I mean, it's just it's a far cry from the days of, you know, Blake Martinez kind of struggling, but leading the team in tackles just because he's like always dragging somebody to the ground 9 yards down the field. And also this kind of all happened, I don't know, if those two guys stay healthy, I will feel pretty good about this defense.
Yeah.
That's my notable nugget. It's like the Ty Summers absence was felt in a very nice way.
I was going to say, if you noticed it, clearly you did. 0, I think, defensive snaps for Ty Summers in this game.
Yeah, that was a demotion that happened fast and was needed. And yeah, they look good. So Campbell is like playing at a Pro Bowl type of level so far. That's got to be the big takeaway for this defense coming out of the game. A defense that's struggling with injuries.
Yep.
And guys are stepping up. So
I say it every year, my kingdom for a passably solid inside linebacking core. And I think we have something going right now.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, the old days are coming back. Football, it's all cyclical, right?
Yep.
Running backs and inside linebackers. Yep. There was a day that like the cover of Madden every year, it was like Ray Lewis and then it was Marshall Faulk. It's like all these guys. It's like maybe that's coming back now.
I'm not a big like size and measurement guy. I feel like a lot of people know how tall and how big everyone is. I'm not really that guy, but sometimes you notice Campbell out there. And he just looks different than other Packers linebackers we've seen over the last few years. Just a physically different presence.
Yeah. He definitely seems more capable.
Yeah. The hair helps
than
too.
Any of the guys we've. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool.
So I guess if you think this is the best linebacking core, where does the new signing fit in? And what do you think of that?
Yeah, which is funny because, all right, so yeah, we can get into that now. I don't know if Zach, we were like reserving that for later, but so it's just funny the Packers would make a signing now when you can argue that they finally don't necessarily need it. But I also don't see, I agree with what I believe to be your take, Ben, through us talking on the text chain, that what's the downside? Like, I don't think that them signing Jalen Smith was something that prevented them from doing anything else. Like,
yeah.
If that move happened and it meant that they didn't make the move, To get Stephon Gilmore, then sure, that's absolutely ridiculous. But there's no way that those two things are true. So just, you know, standalone signing, why not? Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? You're not paying a lot of money for him.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, this is a very easy kind of like, if he's good, great. He's a nice depth piece to have. If he's injured and nothing works out, then, you know, who cares?
Yeah. I think there were, I think because it was entangled with will they or won't they land Gilmore, which I'm a Packers fan, so I know better than to get my hopes up. But because it was entangled with that, I think a lot of the APC team were really down on this move, and I think kind of down on him just as someone who has dealt with injury and does he have anything left in the tank. And I'm with you guys. I just think there isn't really a downside. He's a veteran depth player, and it works out such that contract wise, I think they're paying him like $700,000 basically, which is $100,000 less than they're paying Ty Summers. So I don't know. I'm with you guys. I think it's a smart money move.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at worst, he's a way more physically capable when healthy Ty Summers. And that's like at absolute worst.
Yeah.
I would say.
Which I feel like, not to get ahead of ourselves, but if you want to make like a deep playoff run, it helps to have a guy like that. You need those guys.
Yeah. I mean, that position, you need bodies, man. Yeah. Like attrition takes its toll, and especially inside linebacker guys who are kind of, you know, battering Rams.
Yeah.
I do want to clarify that for Nug on linebacker, kind of following in your footsteps on position groups that feel like they're stronger than they've been in a while. I consider, you know, it's hard when your team, defenses in general now are just like hybrid everything. So I guess, you know, I could see someone being like, what are you talking about? Like, look at listing some of the outside linebackers we've had. I consider pass rusher and interior line. I'm speaking specifically just about interior linebackers,
yeah.
in that vein. I don't want like the backlash of, you know, like 2010 Clay Matthews coming my way and stuff like that. So yeah, I just had to couch that.
The wrath of the Matthews devotees out there. At Alex Patakis on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. Ben Foldy, give me your no-nug.
I think I've been pleasantly surprised to see the you know, the continued growth of Eric Stokes. And I think it's a real, I think I was saying that it wasn't my favorite draft pick. I've been wrong on a lot of things so far this season, and I'm glad to continue being wrong on that.
Yeah, Stoked on Stokes was the name of the title I gave one of our episodes a couple weeks ago, but he continues to shine, just kind of making some, I think, aggressive tackles. There's been some missed tackles this year, I think, all around the defense, but he's one of a few players who I think actually has been tackling pretty well, I think, overall. And been in on a lot of balls. Let's get some listener note nugs here before we move on again at the Unpack Pod on Twitter. I wanted to bring up this one from PJ because he's talking about Mason Crosby, which we didn't even talk about field goals yet, but this is like the third or fourth Packers show you're probably listening to. So everyone's got their Mason Crosby takes at this point. But PJ writes in, my theory is that this is the first week of the new timing on the field goal. OMG, don't let it get blocked protocols. So it was shaky this week, but it'll be fine going forward. I thought that was an interesting take. Other people saying, maybe there was like a subtle cross breeze that came through sometimes. I don't know. It was just one of those weird days. Alex, what do you think about that theory?
Yeah. It was worrying a trend that coming off of a game where they have them blocked that probably would have, would have changed the game dramatically. But I guess it would be, you know, it's like the Packers weren't the only team dealing with it, is the only thing. So it's like I almost chalk it up to just weirdness. Because, the Bengals, like their rookie had been reliable.
Yep.
He had won them games at the buzzer. Yep. And he kind of went through the same exact thing that Crosby. I mean, he didn't miss as many, but he wasn't making the winner anytime soon in that game. So
I think there were, I think I saw the number was 13 or maybe it was 15, but there was that, there was a lot of missed extra point attempts this weekend. I think it was like the most in a weekend in NFL history, actually. It was just a weird kicking weekend.
That's so weird how that stuff like can happen in bunches, yep. Like these rarities. It's very awkward. How did we feel about the early celebration? Like that kick very, like I know it hit the flag. But like
he wasn't the only one celebrating. If you go back and watch, like a couple of the linemen, like people were stoked for.
Do you think they were celebrating because he was? Because like if I look back at my kicker and he starts to celebrate, I'm like, oh, okay, it went in. I'm like extra mad at him, not just for missing the kick, but also for like thinking that he made the kick.
Poor guy.
I don't know. It honestly confused me because when I saw it live, I was like, that obviously is a miss. I was celebrating. Yeah. Then I saw him celebrating. I'm like, is this going to be one of those like, this is way too close. It's like above the upright and they have to make a weird judgment call on like where the ball is. I mean, ugh, God, that kind of freaked me out. But I was glad to see it was just a really bad look on your own kick, I guess, from that guy. Look. Yeah.
Gavin tweets in with his note nug. Too many negative play calls from LaFleur. Hashtag note nugs. I don't know if you guys have opinions on the play calling in this game. I think I've heard some takes about maybe being a little bit too conservative down the stretch running when it's, you know, why not just let Aaron Rodgers do Aaron Rodgers stuff? Especially when it was coming down to field goal attempts and Mason Crosby had missed a couple. I don't know. Negative play calls from LaFleur. How'd you feel about play calling in this game?
No strong feelings.
No strong feelings.
And I'm trying to think, I'm like, what sticks out? I mean, I know they like, you know, stalling out in the red zone isn't good. And the difference between this year and last year in the red zone is pretty noticeable. I don't feel like I know how to criticize, you know, the reason for that. I mean, at the moment, I'm not arguing with results. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to criticize a play caller of an offense that's as good as the Packers, but I do agree that, in the moment watching the game, the Packers get a break and get this interception. Their kickers, extremely shook. For Rodgers not to attempt a pass on that first drive to put it away. I think like that was noticeable, but it's not egregious. You know, it's more like, oh, I'm surprised that we're seemingly playing for a field. It's almost like they really wanted Mason to redeem himself when every fan was like, we need to score a touchdown because I don't care what the distance is. I don't trust it.
It's just like you were saying last week, Alex, it's like they call plays and they're designed to let's get so-and-so his glory.
Yeah, and it was like, we're not leaving here till you make one. Yeah. Like, nobody leaves until you make one.
Yeah, and we've talked before about on these very airwaves about not wanting to be, quote-unquote, play-calling guy, because it is an easy position to take when a play doesn't work out to just be there and be like, well, they should have done this other thing, and that would have worked.
Right.
One last note nug, and then we will take a quick break. Glenn tweets in, that was a really fun football game that our team won. That's kind of like how I felt at the end of it. I was like, just trying to find that Zen space and, you know, like, let my blood pressure kind of get back to normal.
I know that I, said this last week in reference to the blocked kick and like the no fun league, but like, you know, that game was way more fun because of all the chaos. Like if it's I know last second field goals 9 times out of 10 are, you know, people write about them as if they're like exciting games. But honestly, I find like a walk-off field goal pretty boring. It's like you get a lot of tension. I mean, the one exception I can think of is the Cowboys playoff game.
Yeah.
But you know, given my druthers, I would rather not just have that be the end and be like, oh, great, we slipped out by the skin of our teeth thanks to good clock management and, you know, a semi-successful two-minute drill. I mean, by all means, give me chaos. Way, way more fun that way.
You don't get turned on by clock management?
I do not.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know. Hashtag team chaos. That's what we are. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to do news and haikus.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
We are back. Team Chaos has returned. Got a couple minutes left on the free Zoom. Is this a bit old yet? Is it getting old? I don't know. I still like it. I think we are ready to step into the spa. I think that's where we're going. I turned the sounder up. Can you hear it now, Alex? You couldn't hear it before. You got it.
Oh yeah.
I feel like most sounders, it doesn't matter if you guys can't hear this one. I feel like you guys need to hear it because we all need to be in that moment together. So I'll go first. Put your left leg out and you pull your left leg in. Somehow, not a flag. That's my hokey pokey haiku. Just like it was weird that there was something like 13 missed PATs this weekend, it seems like a league-wide thing that there's been this odd, inexplicable rash of tripping instances, both valid and not valid, called and not called, and it's just weird. And this week on the opening drive for the Packers, there was about as blatant an instance of tripping as I think I've ever seen, and it was crickets from the refs. I was watching on my phone at a bar, so I didn't have the commentary. No one else around me cared to discuss the matter. So I don't know what if you guys have strong opinions, if you know the play that I'm talking about, but tripping, what the hell, man? What's going on?
Yeah. I think, was it Jonathan Vilma doing the
yes,
I think commentary, I think, this week? He says something like, I've seen a lot of big guys fall, and that's not the way big guys fall. And yeah. I was like, you know what? You're right. That's I have nothing else to add. It was a super unnatural thing. Very, very obviously tripping Aaron Rodgers for the second, what was it, second week? No. San Francisco was a little while back. Did he get tripped a week? Yeah. I don't
Pittsburgh.
Think he got tripped.
J.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The flag I was picked up.
But it was Watt. Yeah, I was mixing up. The pass rushers that I don't like for different reasons. Yeah, my bad. No, yeah, second week in a row. That was a trip. But then there was a call later.
Was there?
Right?
I don't remember.
I think there was a tripping call later that went in the Packers' favor, but like while they were on offense, maybe? I don't remember.
To Vilma's point, yeah, it was like so obviously, it was like weird looking, and so it was obvious. Like, that's not how you fall. It seemed intentional. It seems so intentional that if they had, like, the sound audio bubble, like mic'd up or whatever, that you'd hear him go, like, gotcha. Like, ha-ha. I am tripping you.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, I don't know. We don't... I feel like we're this close to having, like, a five-minute referee segment every week now as just a running bit because it's been so bad this year. And, yeah, man. I don't know. Just player safety. That feels like I don't know where all the refs are standing at that point on that particular play, but
well, I think when it happens to the quarterback, that's something you definitely expect to be seen because the lead official is usually just staring at the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, like from a very clear angle. And when you get a replay angle that's basically from that angle and it's clear on the replay, it's it's kind of weird that it doesn't happen. I don't know why they're giving these defenders the benefit of the doubt, but yeah, I think I said last week that the Watt incident would have been a red card.
Yep.
I think this would have been a yellow, but still probably a card. Yeah. if we were playing soccer
still
out there.
Still a card. So,
yeah.
I'm going to usher us back into the spa. Should I go to random.org and figure out which one of you goes next? We'll just say Alex.
Too many misses, but also too many tries. Need more gold zone work. What happened to the gold zone? That wasn't part of the haiku. That was just my question.
I think what happened to it is we call it the gold zone. I just hate that. I absolutely despise it.
All right, great. So I'm never going to refer to it as the red zone.
I mean, you're only going to call it the gold zone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to bother you. It is kind of stupid.
Just like, I think it's dumb.
It is kind of stupid. I mean, whatever. You want to rally behind gold member. What are they, like 27th, I think, in the league?
Yeah.
In red zone percentage?
Yeah.
Last year it was a strength. That's a concern. Like, I mean, it sucks when Crosby's having a day like that, but he attempted so many freaking field goals. Yeah. Like, this really shouldn't have been. It's hard to say. I think the Bengals played pretty well. They're a worthy opponent. But the Packers did not struggle moving the ball at all.
Yeah.
And I listened to them talk about this on the Repack pod. And then I saw Matt Schneidman from The Athletic tweeted out, and a number of others, the Packers basically said this is the first time in their history they had a 300-yard passer, a 100-yard rusher, and a 200-yard receiver, right? Because Adams had like a career day. They were moving the ball.
Yeah.
And it still felt like such a struggle. And I guess I'm just wondering, like, what? Yeah, I know year to year, I guess it's hard to, you know, maintain that level of success they were having because they were one of the best teams. But that's a concerning trend, I think. And I don't know if it's one that you had in mind, Zach, when you were saying there's a few things that concern you, but you wanted to go positive. This is certainly one, because better NFC teams, like, you're not going to get as many chances.
Not only was it on my mind, it was my note nug until I talked myself out of it. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm going to go positive. Just because they win, it's another win. They've been winning a lot and I want to enjoy the football. So let's focus on that. But my original note nug was, do the Packers have a scoring problem? Point blank. Because they just, seems like, you know, so much success last year in the gold zone.
Well, but so before this game, as you were probably sitting down at this bar getting ready to pull up the feed on your phone, you said something and you just said again how you feel after. I think Glenn was the guy who tweeted in with his note nug that he's just happy that they won a game. And I think you said that your mindset had shifted to, I just hope we get out of there with a win, nobody else gets hurt. And that happened, but then, like, having seen the game, and I feel like the Packers playing better than I would have expected with the offensive line they were playing with, but somehow still barely getting by, was like a little dissatisfying to me. You know, it left like a weird taste in my mouth. Because I don't feel like we should feel like they got lucky. But when you don't convert in the red zone like that, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
Bummer.
You know, when's the last time you said Bob Tonyan's name during a game?
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's, I don't know. Like last year, that was kind of fun.
I say that just because I'm thinking about, like, okay, so who is actually, so much of the offense is running through either Aaron Jones or Davante Adams, maybe AJ, if it's like an AJ shift. I'm wondering if that's hurting them in the red zone and they don't really have that many other options. And I don't know if that's on Rodgers, and I don't know if that's on the play callers, but it just seems like, you know, the touchdowns this year have been like, you know, something where Davante is really easily schemed open, or like, I'm talking like the in the red zone.
Yeah.
You know, either Davante is kind of beating someone off the line and schemed open, or it's a run, or it's kind of like a wheel route. So I guess like Alan Lazard is good. You know, Randall Cobb is presumably still good in the red zone. And I'm wondering if maybe spreading the ball around a little will could help, even if it's just to get people to respect Devontae. You know, getting people to respect others pulls the kind of ability to double and triple Devontae in the red zone.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And to your point about Tonyan, I'll go all the way back to the Saints and we'll work our way up. 2 catches for 8 yards, 3 catches for 52 yards and a touchdown, 1 catch for 6 yards, 2 catches for 8 yards, 1 catch for 8 yards against the Bengals. So
I guess the last time we said his name was week 2.
I'm gonna put my foot down. We all love the big Bob Sounder. He's got to get 2 touchdowns. Then I'll drop it.
Yeah, no, do not play it. He's got to earn that. Make him earn it. There is a real opportunity there for Randall Cobb, though. Like, he could sneakily have like a 6 to 8 touchdown year if they could figure that out. I just felt like, you know, the past year, the red zone is like where Matt LaFleur like had the opportunity to like put a lot of his creativity on display.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel like it. Like, that's how he won my heart, I feel like, as a coach. It's just like how easy they made it look when they got down there.
How hard the offense gets when you don't have Swerve back there, man. No Irvin. That's the linchpin, the key. I don't know. I'm kidding. Ben, do you have a haiku?
I do.
Well, then, let's enter the spot. No, go ahead.
Is the sounder on?
Oh, yeah, baby.
What a weird reason for the pack to not rush 4. Do we believe them?
I love this. Are we talking about the weird, the touchdown before the half?
Yeah, the offense calling the audible for the defense, supposedly.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, I've never been on a professional football team. I've never been on any football team, but is it common that defenses are listening to the offense to check out of their play? Like, that just seems like a bad idea on a number of levels.
I didn't actually hear the explanation, but my interpretation of what I've heard from everyone is that they have a similar check on defense. And so they heard that word and thought it was a defensive check, not that they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it's like Joe Burrow said banana. And then everyone on defense is like, oh, we're changing to banana. Okay.
Right. But that's right. Not what it yeah. was. The Packers checked out of their call without needing to, like, without knowing that that it wasn't their own check, you know? And I heard Justice talk about this too. He was saying, I guess, like, it's really common at the high school level, let's say, like where he coaches, for coordinators to get together and like work out their audible calls so there is no
overlap
yeah. between that. But that's on the same team. But yeah, so
LaFleur said, like, it's the offense. Our guys thought they heard something that we actually have in our offense.
Oh, okay. Okay. I could be incorrect.
So our guys thought they heard that and they were playing that play. And unfortunately, they guessed wrong. And it's just like, what?
So weird.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that, honestly.
Yeah. Is he covering for somebody in that? Like, it's okay to get beat by Ja'Marr Chase. It happens. Like,
and it was honestly a great play. It was 99% of a great play by Darnell Savage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a strange excuse that I guess I believe, but it's like, it just seems dumb that the defense would be listening to, and that 11 guys would all be like, oh, okay, like Joe Burrow said something, so it must be that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Alex, you, last week, you were talking about Joe Burrow and said that every time you think you want to bet on Cincinnati, he lets you down. Have you actually watched him play before? And what did you think coming out of this game? Because I kind of think he's like a real deal quarterback.
I've definitely watched him play before, but not you know, with the same intent that you do with the Packers, you know, being the team you're watching. I mean, the throw in overtime is pretty inexcusable. That's a weird one. Like, I don't want to like detract from my own like Campbell excitement, our own Campbell excitement, but that's also a play he should have never had the opportunity to make. He also threw the, you know, Stokes also had a pick, right? So I don't know. I'm like wavering. I think it's early to say that like he's not. I think he is. What's like in between real deal and not, like whatever that is, I think is like where I'm comfortably landing right now.
Passable franchise quarterback.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's passable with you know some exciting elements, I would say. But I think a few too many mistakes.
Yeah.
He also had some really nice long ball, like that play that Stokes made. That breakup downfield with Chase, that's awesome. Like that's a play to remember. That's like in my memory bank going forward. Like if Stokes ends up being a really good corner for this team, because that's best on best. Like just good throw, good route, good everything, good breakup. That's the kind of stuff that gets you really excited. So there were some of those from Burrow.
Yeah.
What did you think? I mean, I don't know. I just kind of trusted us to make a play, which I feel like says something about the quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I felt that way about Roethlisberger too.
Yes. Yes. I don't have anything to add to that. I agree with that. I think that you should listen to your gut in those moments. My gut, to your point, was saying like, the Packers defense will figure this out. And I never felt that worried about it. Now, granted, I mean, everyone else was on the edge of their seat having a heart attack during this game. And I was like at a bar watching it on my phone. I got none of that emotional roller coaster that I think everyone else experienced, but it never felt super in doubt other than, you know, whatever random field goal attempts, which is what do you got?
Can I ask a question that I feel like other people might be wondering?
Yeah.
As you keep saying that you watch this at a bar.
Yeah.
Were you at a sports bar and they just didn't have this game on?
No.
Or were you at a completely... Okay.
I was at a bar with no TV. Friends of mine...
It was Adrian Amos who had the pick this week, by the way.
Yes.
I knew I was wrong. That's why I checked myself.
Oddly, I kind of knew you were wrong too, but I didn't know who else it was. And I was like, yes, that's right. Moving on.
Stokes was the week before with an AFC North quarterback.
I must have misremembered. I legit thought Stokes had a pick this week. I knew Amos had one. But
he had the one off Big Ben instead, but Amos had that like big pick.
We got 2 minutes before we go Sopranos ending, and I wanted to get your vibe real quick.
Ding-de-de-ding-de-de-ding. Park the car, Meadow.
Not to steal Justice Mosqueda's thing, but do a vibe check and see how we feel about playing the Bears this weekend. I just checked the line. I think is minus
Packers,
4.5.
4.5.
Yeah.
Well, large road favorites again. Second week in a row.
Yeah. How do we feel about that?
I feel good.
Yeah. Did you happen to watch the the Bears Raiders game?
No.
No.
I did not, right. Actually. Why?
No, I don't know. Because I expected the Bears to find a way to lose that game, and they played pretty well. And I'm not saying that that means that they're like, oh, we really got to watch out. But I don't know. It raised a hackle or two. I'm curious about this game. I think 4.5 feels right, but I don't know. Ben, what's your vibe on this game? You think the Bears stink?
I think if they play as sloppy as they had last week, I think they could actually drop this game.
Yeah. Because the Bears have a defense that's not bad.
Yeah. I think I'll take the Packers, but like only if they clean up their act, I think, significantly.
Yep.
And if they lose, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. I would just be like, this team has some issues that it's working out and it needs to get it right. But yeah.
Yep. We are going to go Sopranos ending here, so I am just going to hit the polka, and that's going to be the podcast. It's rare that I can still see your guys' faces here while the polka's on. Less than a minute left.
Thanks for sneaking it in with the sun out.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Weird game. There went the video. Now I'm alone in my room in the middle of the afternoon. Weird game. Packers win. Let's just focus on that. They won a football game. Might be some problems with this team, but just focus on the good. Focus on the good. All right, guys. That's all we got for you today. For Ben and Alex, I am Zach. Keep it locked in here at the Acme Packing Company audio feed. We will have reporting as eligible tomorrow, as you probably hear this, followed by Intercepted, and then it's Bears weekend, baby. And I hear they still suck.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.